Today's guest, Alex Chaho, is a master of astrology, martial arts, and hermetic philosophy, who specializes in helping entrepreneurs and executives anticipate what's coming and prepare for it with precision. With a rare blend of esoteric wisdom and warrior discipline, Alex brings piercing insight, strategic clarity, and a results-driven approach that sets her apart from traditional astrologers. For 15 years, she's taught astrology and tarot as an international instructor with the Modern Mystery School. And for more than 2 decades, she's traveled the world as a sensei and Warriors of Light instructor. Get ready for a powerful conversation with someone who's redefining what modern leadership and intuition can look like. We'll see you in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. I'm super excited to be here with Alex Chaho today. And Alex and I met through Podmatch. And so if you've been listening to recent episodes, you've been hearing me refer to Podmatch, but it's been a great service that's provided to link up guests with podcasts. And it's pretty straightforward. And I was so glad when we talked a month ago, Alex, to join forces. So I
absolutely
welcome you. Yeah.
We had such a good chat when we first met.
Yes. And you've got a really dynamic sort of profile and background. And I think that that's what drew me in. Alex is a master of astrology, martial arts, and hermetic philosophy with a focus on helping entrepreneurs and business executives foresee and prepare for imminent events. I really like this part. Historically, royalty and prominent people consulted astrologers. And when we get to the interview part, I really want to talk about that because I think it's important about what's coming back around the bend. Today's Absolutely. Insights are just as relevant, but today corporations are the new monarchy and entrepreneurs and execs provide the greatest opportunity for global impact. Your martial arts background separates you from other astrologers and tarot readers, giving you piercing insight, strategic comprehension, and a maximum impact approach. She's also taught astrology and tarot, I want to see how you pronounce it, as an international instructor with the Modern Mystery School for 15 years. And so, and then also, you can correct my pronunciation, a sensei
yes.
master. Yeah. So in regard to martial arts.
Yeah.
So these are all such beautiful areas to touch upon. However, let's begin with intention setting, because what I typically do for the listener is I will do intention setting before we record. And then when I suggested that, you tapped into some information that was coming to you. And then you said, why don't we just do it live? So let's give the audience an idea. I'll begin it. Okay.
Absolutely.
What I do with a guest before we start. I think it's a special place to start for 2026 when this will be airing. But how this kind of goes is, Alex, I'm just going to create space for us to set an intention for this recording, for what we want to bring forward for any listener that chances upon it, whether it be a regular listener or someone new to the podcast, to this podcast, welcoming all, knowing that Mystical Sisterhood is a vehicle and a portal for love, light, expansion, truth that is becoming, in its becoming. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's coming. Welcoming you with such great gratitude to sit here with myself and with the listeners, both the tried and true, again, and in the new. And just placing a blessing onto our conversation that some wisdom that will be shared will be beneficial to not just individuals, but to the collective. And knowing that conversations like these, whether it's the one you and I are having today, or the ones that our listeners are having in their living rooms or their kitchens or their talk with a child or a friend, that they're all impacting the greater whole. And that's why when we talk about the minutiae that can seem like the work, it seems small, but it's actually has this potential for expansion and for exponentiality. So that being said, Alex, I invite you to share what's coming to you around setting intentions for our conversation today.
Well, Maureen, I would like to begin with a blessing from the goddess of fortune, Tishe, who is the Greek goddess of fortune and abundance. And so I'd actually like to read to you the Orphic hymn to Tishe. Approach, strong Tishe, with propitious mind and rich abundance, to my prayer inclined. Placid and gentle Hecate, mighty named, imperial Artemis, born of Eubolios famed. Mankind's unconquered, endless praise is yours, sepulchral, widely wandering power divine. In you our various mortal life is found, and some from you copious wealth abounds, while others mourn your hand averse to bless in all the bitterness of deep distress. Be present, goddess, to we who worship you, and give abundance with benevolent mind.
That's beautiful. So I've never heard anything like that before. Where is that from? Or what is that?
Yeah, this is one of the Orphic hymns, and so in the ancient Greek mysticism, there was the Orphic traditions, and so they were considered to be a mystery cult, and they actually had initiation rites and rituals and ceremonies that they conducted, and so there are many Orphic hymns to the different Greek gods and goddesses, and Tyche was a goddess who frequently accompanied Hermes. She was the goddess of fortune, and so she blessed all his endeavors.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. Gorgeous place to start. I think that when we spoke a few weeks ago, you were talking about how your work with astrology and one of your endeavors of this life is to demystify it and bring it, it's like almost like bring it to ground level. But there's something in you starting with this goddess of fortune and this storytelling that is an ancient art as well, but bringing it into the now and why it matters. And so that's a lot right there. But I think that if you would want to start with your vision for astrology, for sort of humanity within your work and anything that's coming to you, I think it's important.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that because astrology is something near and dear to me. I started when I was a child. It was how I learned how to read. I'd sit there with my grandfather's astrology books and a dictionary. Later on in school, it gave me really good powers of reading, which I'm eternally thankful for. But because astrology is very near and dear to me, and because it was my first love in life, I've really been looking at what's out there. Because I always understood astrology to come from a very holy place. And it was something that was meant to help you understand yourself. It was something that was meant to give you that process of know thyself, because knowing thyself is the beginning and ending of all wisdom. And that was something really holy, because when you know yourself, well, there's generally more joy in life because, yes, you know your strengths and your goodness, right? And then on top of it, you also make better choices for yourself too. A lot of times the decisions that we regret often come from a place of not knowing ourselves or having known ourselves and then succumbed to perhaps pressure or that kind of thing. And so astrology is this very holy tool that helps us to understand the divine within. And if you go back all the way to the original teachings of astrology that originate with Hermes Trismegistus, who lived thousands of years ago, one of the things that he taught was that we are divine beings. And today, if you look at astrology on the internet, it's become really, I guess I could say, massively packaged. And it really has lost its essence because it's trying to display people as caricatures in a way that's kind of similar to stereotyping, I guess I could say. You know, I was just thinking the other day, you know, I saw this post on Facebook and it was asking like what zodiac sign is good with a June Gemini. And like some of the comments, I was like, I was a little flabbergasted. Like they, first of all, a lot of hateful comments actually. But then also, you know, because it was asking like what male zodiac sign is good with them. And just a lot of stereotyping. And so, you know, one of the comments that I saw was, you know, all Libra males are narcissists. And
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, this is so backwards. If I
So,
look at the origins and I want to bring back that holiness and the celebration of goodness within people.
okay, that's beautiful. I love it. And this reverence and respect for the ancient art. You know, I feel that maybe across the 3 years, there's been a few astrologers on. The most recent was Beth Strzelecki. She reminds me of you in a way because there's a slowing down. There's just like a complete reverence for astrology. And then what I hear you saying too is like, be cautious, not like be careful, but be cautious how you're ingesting astrology. Because it can be used, it feels like it's meant to be used in this more individual way.
Absolutely. And I want to add that it's also about reverence for humans as well. Because, you know, when I see like those comments, you know, all Libra males are narcissists, there's an irreverence and a complete disrespect for humanity. And I think that part of that disrespect is why we have so many problems in the world.
That's
And
really
so
interesting. Yeah.
We have reverence for the divine within us, but then we also learn how to have reverence for others. This is one of the reasons that I love astrology so much because it shouldn't make you stereotype the people around you, but rather it should actually enable you to have better relationships with them.
Yeah.
That would be the best use of astrology.
Yes, I love it because, well, what you're saying too about the internet example is that. You know, like I know with one of my friends, Valerie, she's an intuitive medium channel. And people, when she does intuition classes, the people have asked, well, how do you know if it's your intuition or your mind? And the answer was something thereabouts of like, well, the intuition is sort of pure and true and not negative, not based in separation. Cause that's what, like, almost what you saw online the other day. When we see it should be a tip off that if it's being used for separation, then it seems like it's a misuse of the tool.
Absolutely. And on top of it, like coming back to the caricatures or the stereotypes, you know, the notion that certain signs should not be with others is actually kind of ridiculous because when you're looking at connecting with someone, one of the things you have to understand is that each of you is individuals and your zodiac sign is just one part of your chart. And it may not always be the dominant. Maureen, I can't tell you how many times people have told me that they don't resonate with their sign. And frequently it's because they're either born at the beginning of the sign or the end of the sign, and they have a lot of other planets sitting in either the sign before or the sign after. And so they don't resonate with their zodiac sign as much.
Oh, that's so interesting. A lot of people, you use the word demystify astrology. A
Yeah.
lot of people have either grown up thinking that it was just kind of out there. And wait a minute, let's stop right there and say, wait, what? It was used to consult the kings and monarchies like of old. Like what happened along the way why was it originally used as a tool, like a sacred tool? And how did we lose it? And like now it became this strange thing that outliers practiced.
Yeah. So astrology, I mean, again, for thousands of years, and the example that I always love to give is actually that of Alexander the Great. So his teacher was Aristotle, And everyone knows Aristotle as a philosopher, but Aristotle was also an initiate in what were called the Greek mystery schools. And he was also an astrologer. And he was always by Alexander the Great's side, giving him insight, guidance, giving him insight into the blind spots of his own nature, but also how to embrace his gifts. And so that was how, he went from basically, a noble who was anticipating assassination to making strides in Persia, to making strides ultimately into India as well. And without the guidance and the wisdom of astrology, that came through Aristotle, who educated Alexander the Great on his chart to a great degree, maybe he would have accomplished the same things, but perhaps with a whole lot more difficulty and not to the degree that he did. And of course, in England in the Renaissance, the royalty also consulted astrologers as well. And so many people have heard of John Dee and Edward Kelly. And so John Dee was not only a magician, but he was also an astrologer who consulted the queen frequently as well. And he's been depicted in all kinds of movies and shows and that kind of thing. But royalty consulted astrologers because astrologers could provide insight, first of all, into their own nature. Every one of us has areas where we have strengths, where our genius, so to speak, can flourish. But then there are areas where we have blind spots. There is no single one of us who is perfect in every situation. And so the astrologer would consult with the royalty or the leadership or the statesman, whoever it was, giving them insights into their own nature, reminding them of their blind spots. But then also, the astrologer would consult royalty on things such as care for the kingdom. Because, and this is not my area of practice, but for example, one of the areas of astrology was actually weather divination. And so the astrologer would give royalty and statesmen insight into what was coming. Are we looking at potentially a season of drought? So knowing that that's on its way, what are we going to do about this to ensure that everyone is fed and we don't have riots in the streets? Right?
Amazing.
Also, things like war, to go to war, not to go to war.
Incredibly powerful. I had read something the other day that suggested that it's not always talked about, but some world leaders or, people in positions of power in a say, I'm going to say, or do consult astrology, but it's not talked about as much. What do you think about that?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you. There's so much when you need to, govern a state or a country, right? Whether you're a president or prime minister, whatever you've got, there is a lot that you need to keep in mind. And an astrologer can look at so many different areas. I mean, I haven't even begun talking about this, but there are aspects of astrology that predict markets. I love to work with what's called mundane astrology. And mundane astrology takes a look at what is the mindset of the people? What are their concerns? What do they want? What are the things that are foremost on their mind? Because, all of these things that mundane astrology talks about is going to influence what you're going to want to say to the public to make them vote for you.
Absolutely. And so that's a leadership type framework. Do you use that for yourself in terms of what am I meant to talk about at this period in time?
So I love doing that. I love working with mundane astrology. And every year I actually do a webinar where I go through the mundane astrological aspects and how they're going to be, aspecting the planet and what are the things that are foremost in people's minds. And so for example, in 2026, we have some big shifts that are coming. And so astrologically, we've been working with a lot of feminine energy, but now we are shifting back over into quite a bit of masculine energy. And I believe in the second half of the year, we're going to have all five of the outer planets sitting in masculine signs. And so it will be Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto all sitting in masculine signs. And that masculine energy is going to bring us to a place of it's time to initiate things and set things in motion again. Now, we want to make sure we initiate and set the right things in motion, right?
So for you, I want to get to some basics too, but for you, I know a lot of your work has been around like leadership, entrepreneurs, corporate leaders. Is that kind of your bread and butter? And then you do individual as well for people that feel like, okay, I'm on my life's path, but I'm not in those buckets.
Yes. So most of my work is that I work especially with entrepreneurs, but I also work with those who are in corporate leadership positions. And that is the vast majority of my work. And people often ask me, why do you do that? As someone who's an astrologer and someone who's spiritual, why would you kind of betray your spiritual roots and go work with the corporate world, right? And the reason that I do that is one, not everyone in corporate is evil. Everybody likes to put that label on it. And it's like, no, they're not. But my particular passion is actually working with entrepreneurs. And the reason that I love working with entrepreneurs is because there is a lot of good ideas out there that can absolutely make an impact in the world. And basically, building a business, like the business is the vehicle that delivers that good idea. And you
Yeah,
need to
super
have a
powerful.
successful business if that idea is actually going to make an impact.
Yes. And so bringing in astrology to that can help see the messages that need to be funneled through and how to do that. Because I mean, I can see that being such a beneficial offering because it's an overwhelming world out there. And so you've got this beautiful, beautiful idea. And so they're popping into people's heads like left and right everywhere, right? But how to bring them to life in a sustainable way is got to be a key thing.
Absolutely. And when I work with people, I always start with their natal chart. I try to advise them in the same way that Aristotle advised Alexander the Great. And so I want to help them understand their gifts, where they're going to succeed. Because, going back to my martial arts training, you don't always win the fight by working on your weak spots, but rather by playing your own game.
That's cool.
And so you need to know what your game is. Where are the areas that you can deliver exceptionally? Because where you deliver exceptionally is going to make you well known, as opposed to trying to ameliorate certain weaknesses that are not necessarily going to make you memorable. Might get you maybe a few less negative reviews, but if you really emphasize your strengths and deliver exceptionally in certain areas, you will be remembered for that and you will stand out.
Yeah, I like that because it reminds me of this, that idea that within us, like you were referring to the divine being when we started, but we have things within us that we are meant to share and to, that's why we took a human form, right? To do it in our way, in our essence. And so it's really important work.
Yeah, and I want to see more people succeeding in terms of their entrepreneurial work and launching themselves out into the world. And it's not only just from the perspective of getting great ideas out there, because not everybody necessarily has, some unique invention or things like that, but also when you own a business, it really challenges your personal mastery.
For sure.
It does. And, I mean, as a business owner myself, I thrive on that challenge. And when I see that others want to undergo that challenge, because I have no regrets about launching my own business and, leaving healthcare behind and that kind of thing. So when I see others are ready to embrace that challenge themselves and step up onto that path of self-mastery, that is a beautiful thing. And I love supporting that.
That's really neat. If a in a business way or a personal way, if a w when the chart reflects the shadows, how do you then work with the shadows? Because does that become almost part of it? Like, okay, we're going to actually give coaching in here too, in terms of how to be with both our strengths and our shadows.
Well, I always tell my clients the creator is in the creation.
What does that mean?
Well, the energy you put into something reflects in the outcome that you get. It's the hermetic law of cause and effect.
Okay. Yeah, I
Right.
wanted to you to go into hermetic philosophy. So talk about that one, the hermetic principle of cause and effect.
Well, whatever I put into something shows up in the outcome. I love using cooking here as an example. I don't put salt into my cake batter expecting my cake to come out sweet. Maybe if it's a pinch, but I don't substitute salt for sugar and still expect my cake to turn out sweet. So those shadows or those areas that you haven't worked on necessarily, or maybe that you're not necessarily conscious of either, they show up in what you do. Now, when you deliver exceptionally in some areas, sometimes people are willing to overlook those things. But if they are impacting in a detrimental way, then those are things that need to be addressed because sometimes the outcome isn't necessarily about the end product that your business is delivering. Sometimes the outcome is in your body itself. Sometimes it's in your mind. Sometimes it shows up in your relationships. And so you need to work on those things because, every entrepreneur knows that you are not a vacuum when it comes to your business. Everything affects everything.
Yes, it does. Yeah. What you're talking about reminds me a lot of the energy we carry. So if we're still carrying the energy that are our shadows, I've been thinking about this a lot because if anyone listening is on this path of like, well, I thought I worked on that and it keeps on showing up in different ways, it's like, well, okay, it's still there for you to understand, to kind of move through your process, but it's not going anywhere. And to me, it shows up in my energy. So I can say one thing like, oh, I'm showing up like this, but if I'm still carrying some of that, the recipient can feel it. So you're kind of saying too, like the audience can feel it. Like anyone that your business entity, which I don't know if you think of too as like representations of self per se, but the energy is going to come through there that you're still carrying.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting because it is a bit of a representation of self, and yet you can also think of it as a separate entity altogether.
Okay.
And and this is where things get interesting because I've worked with people who have opened their own business, but then I've also worked with people who have bought businesses as well.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I always tell people, if you're thinking about buying a business, please consult me before you do so, because the conditions for that business to succeed may not match how you function and where you excel.
Very important. Yes. I love that. Lots to think about. And so are there other hermetic principles that you kind of teach and go by?
Oh, well, there's seven of them in total.
Okay.
And so the law of cause and effect is one of them. And by the way, it doesn't just function forward, it also functions backwards. And a lot of these hermetic principles, first of all, they are what create reality, but also we often experience them as a form of intuition. And so the law of cause and effect working forward is what we would call precognition, knowing what's coming. because you've tuned into the cause and you can see what the effect is. But then you can also do it in reverse. You can see the cause and go, oh, I know what happened, right? And
Yes.
that's an intuitive function. And so the law of cause and effect is one of the seven hermetic principles. The principle of gender is another. The masculine and feminine energies that are encapsulated within that hermetic principle of gender. And it's not about masculinity and femininity in terms of our social definitions of it, but it's also about the active and passive principles as well. Of course, the principle of vibration
Yes, I
and
love that one. Is the vibration alone, is resonance with it, or tell us about the principle of vibration? Because I love this one.
well, the principle of vibration, resonance is kind of interesting because we often resonate with things when we're on basically this a similar wavelength,
Okay.
right? And one of the teachings of the spiritual world is that like attracts like in the spiritual world, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. And so, for an example, we often have things kind of hanging around in the aura. And so, if you've ever noticed that, for example, you tend to attract certain kinds of people as opposed to others, it could be that there's something hanging out in the aura that attracts those people.
Okay.
So to give you an example, let's say that you have a really soft, comforting nature, and that soft energy, is what fills your aura. And then you go to the grocery store and you meet the person who literally just dumps their life story on you in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah.
Right. And everywhere you go, there's people telling you their problems. And it's like, what's going on here? And then sometimes you start to question, am I a negative person? Right.
Right.
And
Yeah.
it's not necessarily that you're a negative person, but rather because you have that soft, comforting kind of energy in your field, people who are seeking it
Oh,
will
that's interesting.
resonate with you and
Yeah.
come and just, energetically barf on you.
Right. Yes. And so, how do you deal with something like that? Because then, does the person at the center kind of question, like, well, is that working for me? Is it a part of who they are? And then in the human self, we exercise boundaries.
Absolutely. Boundaries, protecting your energy field, right? So I guess I could say boundaries of, verbal boundaries as well as energetic boundaries. Because who is that softness for? You want to keep it for the people who are important to you. Because if you constantly have people coming and just dumping their life story and emotions on you, when you get home at the end of the day, you don't have the energy you want to have for the people who actually matter to you.
That's a good point.
And so you can be nice about it, and somebody starts, dumping their story on you. Oh, well, you know what? Good luck with that. Have a good day. It can be as simple as that.
I think a lot of our listeners can relate to this one because also a lot of us have that feminine quality of the softness and the reception and it's a beautiful quality, and we're learning how to do the dance of like, how do I restore? Like, how do I take care of myself?
And to protect it for what matters,
Yes,
keep it
that's
for
such
what
a good point.
matters.
Yes.
I would love to say that every one of us is filled with unlimited energy and benevolence and compassion, but that's not the reality. And so when we are drained, when we are tired, when we're not taking proper care of our energetic boundaries and using our verbal boundaries, then we don't have that benevolence and compassion for the people who matter the most.
It reminds me too of we're such sensitive beings, and one of my teachers would say that in our coaching programs, but I also think of it now, like as our being, we are soaking in everywhere we go. We're feeling, we're responding to all these things. And I guess we probably never understood what pristine care we needed, behind the scenes in order to be our best self and be restored. It's not, I think the ways that we learned were so linear. Like if I output this much, I need to, well, the restoration period was one tenth of your output, right? It was like we didn't have a balance in that at all. But it's becoming more of a way of being taking care of ourselves than the things we need to do. And I think a lot of women are giving themselves permission to rest.
Absolutely. That is so essential. You know, before we started recording, we were talking about that. And in the Wiccan traditions, the winter is, you know, the period of time where Mother Gaia goes into her slumbers. She needs to rest, and she goes into deep restoration, and the snow is her blanket. And she goes into that deep restoration so that when the spring comes, she has the energy to be fertile again.
Beautiful. And
And we
we
need
move
that too.
with the seasons. Yeah, that's really pretty. I love that.
And so we have macro seasons, we have micro seasons, but rest is incredibly important to, I mean, especially for us as women. Without rest, it's hard to be in that receptive place and to be selective about what you're receptive to.
I think like when you were talking about, because this will air in the beginning of 26. So what is there anything else coming through that would be beneficial as people are listening and they're at the beginning of the year? Or, you know, I've heard over and over that this is a 1 year, 2026, like it's a time of beginnings. I don't know, awakenings, I'm not sure, but is there anything you want to share there?
Oh my gosh. Well, I would, yeah, it is an initiatory year. It is a year to get things started. But what I would suggest is, you know, especially because for those who are listening, you are likely, you know, listening here in January, take aim first, because there is a lot of masculine energy that's coming through in 2026. And we want to aim ourselves correctly. You know, I want you to think of 2026 as your chance to put on a rocket pack. So you get to put on a rocket pack if you choose, right? You know, this is if you choose. And you want to aim yourself in the right direction, because if you put on that rocket pack and you start heading off in the wrong direction, well, you're going to have to come back a bit of a way before you can start, you know, heading in the right direction there. And so take that time for contemplation, for introspection, to get clarity on what you value, what you want to create, what your real desires are, and to be clear that they are what I call higher desires, as opposed to the desires of the lower ego. And so how I always qualify those is your higher desires are things that are always good for you, no matter what. Good relationships, health, a sense of purpose, wisdom, abundance. These are things that are always good for you, no matter what. And so, as you're going into that space of contemplation and recognition and internal connection and spiritual connection, prioritize and choose one or two things. We
I
want it
love that.
all.
Well, I love what you just pointed out though, and I feel like in this period of time that we've done a lot of soul searching. We've done a lot of gathering information, and it feels like we're moving into a different phase where this foundation of sorts has been laid. And like you use that word fertile, like it's a very fertile time. And astrologically, as a collective, because you know, many are saying that the consciousness is rising. Is that something that comes through astrologically as well?
Well, I would say it's both rising and falling at the same time.
I love the honest answer. I love that, you know what I mean? Like, this is how I see it.
I would say that it is both. And the reason that I say that it's both is because, yes, there are so many people who are waking up and realizing that the physical is not the only aspect to ourselves. And I love that, and we need a whole lot more of that, because when we start to wake up in that way, that's when reverence for humanity, reverence for life can really start to show up on the planet. But also at the same time, we have this massive epidemic, I guess I could say, of two things. One, mediocrity. And two, what Hermes referred to as mere opinion. And mere opinion is when you have opinion about things without the expertise or having thoroughly investigated.
Yes, I like that.
And so, you know, especially the mere opinion has become so damaging because it's been polarizing people. And in that separation that is created, this is where hatred emerges. And in that hatred, we start seeing each other as less divine.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's an important point you're making because I've seen that when either someone has the expertise or, like you're saying, the awareness of, like, well, what do I think about it? And I think many people made certain decisions in recent history that they might now be thinking, like, why did I make that decision at that time? I'll just take like current events. And for that, I personally have a lot of compassion and then admiration for the ability to be like, oh, why was I thinking that? And I think it's a really valuable part of the work that allows you to go within, well, what do I think? Well, what do I think? Because so much of what we think is our conditioned self, and that it's not really us anyway. And back to your work about like this, astrology that can guide our lives, it's specific to us. We're meant to be living lives according to us.
Yeah, and people can get caught up in collective currents.
I love
And
that. I've never heard that, collective currents.
yeah, people can get caught up in collective currents and they can buy into things that normally they wouldn't. And this can be, I mean, positive or negative. And this is where knowing yourself is so important because do you really think and feel that way? Or were you hearing it from every angle,
Yes.
right?
And then that the power in what do I think? Wow, that's possible that I get to say. Jeez, that's very empowering shift.
Yeah. And so this is part of, I mean, astrology is so multifaceted. There is so much to it. And I am by no means an expert in every area. I would love to be. I have a whole lot of books. So I will make my way there eventually. But for us as human beings, we have to remember that there is energy that is constantly flowing onto the planet. And we are receptive to it. In the same way that we are receptive to sunlight, in the same way that we are receptive to levels of humidity, temperature, you know, all these things that we would consider to be weather. Our physical bodies are receptive to those things, but we are also receptive to energies as well. But the thing is, our awareness of that receptivity may not be as finely tuned or as strong as our, you know, knowledge that we are affected by things like sunlight, weather, humidity, you know, that kind of thing.
I feel like so much of that for those on this path are they're getting like more in HD, like high definition in a way. And I was even speaking with someone yesterday about how the animals seem to be really on board with this. And if I feel like I'm more tuned in with my animal than I ever have been, my dog Scarlet. And then a friend was telling me about how her cats are just coming to her and laying on her stomach or being near her crown chakra, or so it feels like there's a heightening of senses in a sense, which is
Oh
really interesting.
yeah. And well, there's an esoteric astrologer. Her name is Alice Bailey. She was originally a Victorian school teacher who began studying with Helena Blavatsky. And Alice Bailey talks about how all the kingdoms are moving up with us. And so humanity is moving into like a fifth dimensional consciousness. And so you have the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and even their levels of consciousness are shifting up with us. So we're pulling them up with us. And
Love that.
so for all of you who are listening, if you've ever been wondering why, you know, your pet, your family member seems so much more like a human, Because their consciousness is coming up.
It's so funny. My husband keeps on saying, he's like, I'm having a renaissance with Scarlett. And it's just funny because there's something undeniable that is happening that is outside of us or inside or outside and all the things. Yeah. Is anything coming to you that you want to share, Alex?
Oh my gosh. Well, let me delve a little into why we're receptive to astrology.
Okay.
So we all have an aura and we have chakras. And, because sometimes people ask me, well, why do certain people feel it more than others? And so we all have an aura and we all have chakras, and they are open to varying degrees. And the aura exists in varying degrees of health, I could say. And so I think for anyone who's listening right now, generally they have some relatively open chakras and a healthy aura. But as the astrological energies come in and hit the planet, you could think of them literally like rays,
Okay.
right? And so as they come and they imbue the planet, we receive them. And so we receive them via the crown chakra. We feel the effects in our aura, and the more open the chakras are, the more pronounced the effect. But the more pronounced the effect is in a positive manner. Because people can also react negatively to the same energies as well. And this is where the homework that we do within ourselves to embrace our goodness, our divine, and to heal those parts of ourselves that have been wounded, where we have trauma, where there are perhaps some mere opinions that have been muttered in our ears enough times to stick around in our consciousness, have been purged. And when we clear that, and we have that openness of the chakras and that reception to the light and to the astrological forces, then we begin working with the stars.
Okay, beautiful.
And I love it when I see that instead of people saying, oh my God, this full moon, it hit me so bad and this and that, I love it when they tell me, I came to some realizations during this full moon. Or I manifested some beautiful things during this full moon.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really cool connection happening. Yeah. I'm thinking too, on the day we're recording, there's a full moon at its peak
It's the
later today.
Gemini full moon.
Wow. I love that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And so I don't know. I mean, everything that you're saying today is really resonant with me, and I'm so happy to offer it. And I just, I'm thinking, gosh, like more, and I just, where my mind goes, I think, is I love bringing people like you to the fore and then having this platform for the listener to take in what is theirs and what speaks to them. And they'll know, right? They'll know. And I was going to say another woman yesterday we interviewed, maybe 2 days ago, Michelle Walters from, she was from Podmatch too, talking about hypnosis. But I just feel like if you have some sort of like visceral connection to anything that was shared today, what do you think that is saying to a person, Alex? Is there a memory going on or just like a spark that is important for them?
I'd say a spark, and maybe the stars are trying to talk to them.
It's so good. So good. As we kind of, for today, for this first interview, this first meeting between us, because I really believe that this, I don't think linear or separate anymore. And I believe that, you and I are together for a reason. Anyone listening today is listening to you for a reason, that sort of thing. But what's coming through for you, for people to really anchor in right now, that's really important for our lives?
I'm going to go back to the goddess Tiche, and abundance is what creates benevolence in the world. And so my wish for everyone listening is that you find abundance in all areas of life. Physical, in terms of your health, have an abundance of health. Mental, have an abundance of mental health. Sure, financial, have an abundance of financial wealth.
Yeah.
Relationships have an abundance of love. And I want you to have these things so that you can share them freely. Tiche carried the horn of plenty, that cornucopia, so that she could be the bestower of abundance and benevolence and blessings. And when every one of us becomes more abundant in all areas of life, then we become that source of compassion for others. And so I wish everyone listening multitudes upon multitudes of abundance in every area of life so that you can create a little slice of heaven that other people can take sanctuary and refuge in and inspire them to create their own.
It's a beautiful blessing and invitation. Thank you for that. That is really, really beautiful. And it does feel like tapping into the energy of abundance feels very joyful. It feels playful. And I think for many, we've put that part of ourselves to the side for way too long, and we're really seeking it. So I think it's a beautiful place to anchor in this episode. So thank you.
Oh my, it was my honor.
Alex, do you want to share right now where people can find you in your teachings?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I would be honored to connect with anyone. And so you can find me at astrologerroyale.com. And there I also have a free ebook that you are welcome to download. It's called Star Powered Resilience. And it's about overcoming burnout and fatigue using your astrological information.
It's a good one. Yeah, I'll be downloading that today. I saw that in your information. That's really a generous.
And my pro tip is if you happen to know your chart and you know what sign Mercury and Mars are in, to actually go and read those sections as well. And in every section, there's information on your gifts and abilities, how burnout happens, but also little rituals that you can do to restore yourself. And many of them are travel friendly because, as someone who travels frequently, I know that not every suggestion out there is travel friendly.
Okay. That's awesome. That's a great resource. And I love the name of your website. It's very abundant. You can feel it. So it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Alex. And thank you to the listener, as always, for being here. It was really fun. And I hope you just got so much from today's episode. Look for the show notes and any links there. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.